Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez-Rafe.
And you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another week of This Is Real, show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. And guess what? Yours truly, Pastor Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Pastor Ernesto, a.k.a. Truth Teller.
Hold on, man. We got truth teller. Hey, listen. It's like when you show up. You know, like, you know, periodically we're like, man, where's the next? And then boom, here you are. Everybody's like, yo, by popular demand.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. Jesus demand.
It's kind of cool, man, that you, we might be hearing more of you.
Yeah, you know, that's
what they're saying through the streets.
That's like the word on the grapevine.
Hey, but it wasn't recorded. inside joke.
That's the 411 on the street.
Yeah, man. So, you know, everything's been going. Tell me a little bit about kind of your life right now. What's happening? Where are you at? Like, what has Jesus been saying to you, you know, before we jump into talk about this bread?
Well, I don't know. My life has been all over the place emotionally. You know, I think dealing with my mom's passing and everything that comes with that has been very emotional. Yeah, it's been interesting. It's been, you know, I feel like God's stretching me in, you know, it's funny because I preached on Love in Action. So I feel like in the midst of that, being stretched to, you know, be Love in Action, you know, especially I think that sometimes whenever you look up to people or people have a certain influence on your life, you wanna give their approval. So sometimes when they are not showing their approval or when they're attacking you, it hurts, you know. So being even maintaining my identity in Jesus, you know, being Love in Action is been a crazy roller coaster. And then, you know, making life decisions, you know. I'm in the process and transitioning and stepping into full-time ministry. So that's been, you know, another journey.
You know, and the first thing you were saying, like, I think it's interesting because, you know, sometimes we forget that everything that happened has an impact on a lot of people. You know, in this case, you know, you're talking to your mom and, you know, you're hoping everybody handles it a certain way.
Yeah.
Right? Or in anything.
Yeah.
Right? But in this case, like I said, it's your mom. So you're hoping everybody handles it the same.
Yeah.
And at the level of, I could say, even sometimes when people have Jesus, like, they don't really know how they're going to handle this. Like, you know, this, right? You'll say, oh, if this happens, I would be like this. And it's like, you don't really know how you're going to be like, you know, like, you know, you don't know, like, if you're seeing your daughter getting robbed or somebody yelling, like,
you're hoping.
Right. And for that, you would have had to have worked that salvation out, that muscle for a while. Right. You'd have to work that. So most of the time, if that's where you really see, if you've been working out, right. Yeah. You don't see it like in the just regular times. It's when the test, trial, trouble comes.
Yeah. It's when the squeezing.
Yeah. That's when you see like, somebody help me with
fruit.
This. Somebody help me with this, where you need a spotter. Right? Somebody to lift it up. And so your faith is being tested now too, huh? Mm-hmm. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's a crazy season, I guess. It's the beginning of the year.
Hey, that first quarter. Come on.
But I'm hopeful. You know, I'm I know God can does only good.
Yeah.
You know, if I lean and trust on him, I know that even in the trials, the tribulations, the stretching, he'll be glorified.
Yeah.
I think that's what we can bank on, you know, Romans, a promise. All things work out for the good.
I'm telling you, yesterday went live, the book, That's Crazy, No, That's God.
And I've seen
that. A lot of
congratulations.
Thank you. I'm not done yet.
I've seen your website too. That's super fire.
Oh, thanks,
bro. That thing was dope.
Appreciate that.
I was like, man.
Thanks, man. Thanks. So,
That's amazing. You're a extreme message of hope, especially for all of us who feel like, you know, we're too far gone. Like we're incarceration, drug dealing, homelessness. Like we've, especially like, for example, myself, I felt like there was too many things against me for me to ever succeed and be anything of significance.
Yeah.
Seeing you come out of, you know, drug addiction and being in prison, get a doctorate, write a book, like be on, like that's a message that it's possible.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I feel like when I was like, you know, because God turns everything around for the good, right?
Amen.
And I feel like if people really tap into Jesus, and not for, please hear my heart, because sometimes people will try to twist it, not for like, oh, this success thing, because really, I'm doing it because I feel like the Lord's telling me to do things. Yeah. And then it kind of turns out that way, right? Always trying to seek the kingdom. And the interesting part is that I feel like a lot of us had, like, I don't know, faith for the devil. Yeah. Like, for his lies, we were like, yeah. yeah, right? And yeah. then when it comes to the things of God, and I get it, you know, I guess what I was saying earlier, you know, there's this, I got a lot of this, that's crazy, because I've been on the book, right? And there's this tension between the natural and the supernatural. And even when we think, you know, the hope for this book is that the supernatural is like, it's like normal. We always think, not that God, you know, we always think that it's a guy coming out the wheelchair. Or
yeah,
like,
facts. Right?
And like, so even though I believe that God could do that,
amen.
when he chooses to do what he does for whatever reason, right? But I also think we minimize this the salvation experience as yeah. supernatural, or having peace,
yeah.
or being able to move in a direction when everything else is like against you, right? Yeah. So my goal in life, to do it scared, do it nervous. Yeah, because when I partied, let me tell you something.
yeah.
let me tell you something. When I partied, okay, like, if there was a capital P, like, if you could, like, I don't know how to explain it. For people that know me, like, before.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm the guy that, now everybody's like, go with Pastor, right? Before, yeah. like, no. Like, if I, let me give you a story one day. So one day this happened. So just to tell you the kind of, like, this is a normal day. This isn't even a party day. On a party day, it doesn't, I don't know how long we're going to go.
Yeah, facts.
I'm going to go when I'm done, like Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
I think I'm going home, you know, like that. Right? Like, just in normalcy. Not even, we're not even talking hard drugs. We're just talking drinking, cocaine, marijuana, people. Right? So I go to smoke with this guy, you know, a good friend of mine, a short guy. He's really funny. His name is Lloyd. And so we, you know, he's married. He's upstairs. And so, you know, Johnny's coming. You know, it's funny because the Johnny, you know, here's Johnny, you know. And so I go and I go, hey, come down, smoke with me. And so he's like, oh man, you know my wife, right? And so he goes, all right, because he was a little crazy too, right? Everybody had a little crazy.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right. So he comes downstairs, and but he said, look, I gotta hurry up because I'm throwing out the trash. Okay. So he's throwing out the trash. We smoking. While we smoking, because once I kick on, right, it's like
it's over.
Yeah. So yeah. I'm smoking, and so we go, hey, let's stop at the liquor store. So we got, you know, before you know it, we got the key out, right? And boom, I jump on the turnpike. And so, you know, he's chilling.
He kidnapped him.
We drive to Virginia. He didn't come home for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. He's like, yeah. He goes, I'm sorry. He's telling him, I'm sorry, which is horrible. Now when I think about it, it's kind of funny now, but it's still horrible because I messed up his marriage, right?
Yeah.
He's out there 2 weeks, him going downstairs to throw out the trash. She's like, you better come home. And I'm like, yeah, I ain't driving you home. Like, he's like, you know, just take him to the mall, buy him clothes, boom, get a room. We're in the clubs in Virginia, like, we got guns, everything. All
but
just,
that was
all
the norm,
started.
Right?
That was norm.
Yeah, yeah.
So I did. So I guess the flip side of that, okay? Because when I partied, I wanted to party like it was my last day on earth,
yeah.
Right? Like that's how I partied, right? Like I didn't know how to like. A little bit, that, you know. Yeah. I just, you know, why
to the fullest.
More? Yeah. Let's have more. Let's go have more fun, right?
Yeah, I can relate.
So we're taking everybody, the chicks, everybody. We're all going to the mall. You don't have to go home until this party ends. So if it was 3 days, five
what
days,
party.
Yeah. So now in Jesus, I feel like why would I want to experience everything he has for me at the. Like, let's say, because I've jumped at stuff and it looked like it failed, but I don't look at failure as failing.
Yeah, amen.
I look at failure as failing forward. I look at failure as like, oh, God taught
lesson
me this.
Learned.
Yeah, no, I'm going to mature by changing this. So I'm going to jump regardless.
Yeah.
Like, I start getting, like, when I'm being, I guess, normal, and I don't even know if that's a, you know, when I feel like your life should have bits and pieces of radical.
Yeah.
It maybe different seasons, different things.
Yeah.
Right? Because it all can't just one.
Yeah,
right?
Makes sense. It should make sense.
Yeah. But at some point, like, there should be something that you're doing in your life. At least this is how I feel. Something that people can go, oh, that had to be God.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're living what's the difference? Like, you're just living like everybody else.
Yeah. I agree.
You know?
Yeah.
And so when you practice living like that, then forgiveness, all of those things are supernatural.
Yeah, facts.
When you have joy and everything's like falling apart, that's supernatural. Yeah, that's not like, it ain't like we reached out for the weed. Like, like you straight up, it's a supernatural thing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk a little bit about a scripture today.
Okay.
Okay. I want to talk about a scripture today that really changed my life. It changed my life. I actually have a whole chapter on this in the thing. So, you know, this has been fresh in my heart. And I just think it's kind of wild because here Jesus is being tempted. Matter of fact, you see the temptation of Jesus, right? Yeah. It's Matthew 4. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to chapter 4. And we'll, you know, 1 through 11. I don't know if we're going to go through all of it, but there's this statement. So then it says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. Important. That's a super important part. Like you could just,
facts.
Right?
Yeah.
Because why?
Because the Holy Spirit led him there.
The Holy Spirit led him there, right? But sometimes we act as if, you know, because in the wilderness, you really see who you really are. Like, really, it's where you, that's where you get squeezed.
Yeah.
That's where you're like, help me. Yeah. You know, you're like, he's like, look, that right there, you know?
Yeah.
Before you get to the promise, right?
Yeah.
Because he's getting you out of Egypt, right? And in his case, he's not coming out of Egypt, but the Spirit is leading him. Because right after this, he's just been baptized.
Yeah.
Right,
so now he's inherited a new identity.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, now he's developing. So I think that's what happens when he leads him into temptation, into all that in the wilderness.
Oh yeah, we're gonna get to that. Okay, so he's being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, which is wild. Right, I think it's wild. Like, wow,
that's super wild.
You're gonna put me in there. But by this point, you're right. He's like, this is my son.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, that's your favorite part. Yeah. You like sonship.
Who am I well pleased with?
Yes. And he's getting baptized. Boom, he comes out the water. That, right? After he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So that's another thing I think I had put somewhere in here in some of these notes I was kind of messing around with. Like, that's a place of vulnerability.
Ain't that beautiful that before he even stepped into wilderness or doing anything ministerial, like, God said, this is my son who I'm already well pleased with.
Yeah, we do that.
Yeah.
Because people get excited and sometimes the motives and desires and everybody just wants to do whatever. You don't know. This person might have 4 years before he started doing this, 5 years before he might have been disciple, all the stuff. And so everything changes when in that first part. Like if you don't know you're a son, because sons... Yeah. True sonship. Now, I'm not talking about what we learned, you know, being rebellious with our parents. True sonship is obedient to your parent.
Yeah.
So if you don't understand what being a son and a daughter is, then you'll never know what it is like to be a husband or nothing.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes people, especially in Christianity, mm-hmm. and maybe I don't even, from all my brothers behind bars, like, when God calls you his son, you're his son. Like, if your parents, like, think about your relationship with your parents. Mm-hmm. Although you've been rebellion and all this still, it doesn't change the fact that they're your parents.
Yeah.
That you're still a son.
You're still
a son. You know, it's just, what changes is your access to what you have for the kingdom.
Totally.
Yeah.
And no, you know, that's this honor of a father, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this reverence that... The important part is that before Jesus, we didn't really know that. Like, we said it, but we didn't really obey. We ran from authority. We ran from submitting to anybody that was like, you better not. We did the opposite.
Yeah, facts.
So in understanding this identity is that I'm going to do what the Father wants me to do.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that, that's what I'm saying. Like, in every other area of your life, it's going to be screwed up because your first identity is I'm a son.
Yeah.
Because you're born again and that's your father who are in heaven. Yeah. Right? Hallowed. You know, this honor of like, what do you need, Dad?
Yeah.
Even if you don't like it. Yeah. What do you need, Dad? Right? Like, there's this obedience. So the tempter approached him and said, if you are the son of God. So this is really funny, right? Because we just said all that. And the first thing he asked him is, if you are the son.
Yeah.
If you are the son of God, tell these stones to become bread. He answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, that changed my life. From Deuteronomy 8:3, I believe. When I first, like, was out, and this is, you know, to all the people that are incarcerated, behind physical bars, or you just started your life with Jesus, and you know, any type of incarceration that you're kind of walking out, right? This is what happened to me, because I was trying to learn how to walk this out, how to be a son, and life was happening.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't have money. I don't have a vehicle. I don't really have nothing at this time.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get a little frustrated. And this lady from Memphis ended up calling me and telling me, it was in Spanish too. And I never talked to her again.
Yeah.
It was one, tring, oh, right? Oh. Uh-huh. And she's like, Deuteronomio 8, read it. And so I read it. And at this time, I'm going to be 40. So it was kind of, it was really funny, because I was going to be 40 years old. And he's like, for 40 years. Wow. So it spoke to me. This is where this is now a rhema. This is a revelation, right? And I'm struggling. And I get to that part. Man does not live. And it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's like I understood that I was going through all of that so I could learn to depend on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father.
That's fire.
Are you with me?
Yeah, yeah.
And that to me was like, it was life changing, because then I understood, okay, every time I go through something, lean on the word. Go through something. That's how everything you have mentioned before that God has, you know, walked me through, or like the things now that I'm doing, is because it's not that I don't get insecure. It's not that I don't think, oh, I have all those moments, yeah, right? It's just that in those moments, rather than me going to my opinion, are you with me? Mm-hmm. I'm going to always go to like, to what God says.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to quit the That's Crazy Nuts guy already 10 times. But I go back to, well, I mean, you told me to do this, so... You know,
yeah,
it's his word. So I'm gonna continue to do this, and obviously I know you're gonna help me.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I want to stay on the whole temptation thing, because obviously he challenges him to turn the stones into bread.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think about that?
I think my translation says, how can you possibly be the son of God and go hungry?
Mm.
I think he's, you know, challenging his position as a son. Like, you're God's son. Like, why would he leave you? Why would he leave you to be hungry? Why?
Yeah.
Why would you be? And then that's the fire part where he says, you know, that you should not. What does it say in your translation?
On the which part?
Man says not
live by bread alone.
Yeah.
But by every word that comes from the mouth of God, which is actually what I was saying, Deuteronomy 8:3.
Yeah. And I think that word bread can be anything. It could be man provision. Should not live off feelings alone, or in the sense of like, you should not make your decisions or assumptions or take actions based upon anything other than the word of God
all day long.
Like, you shouldn't live, your life should be lived off the foundation and the basis of what is God saying. So, and for example, if something pulls up a feeling, a bread or some other thing that is not associated with the word of God, you can take that and take it to the word of God.
Yeah, well, that's why Jesus says, it's you know, the scripture always references itself.
Amen.
And Jesus calls himself what?
The bread of life.
The bread.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's the bread of life. He also says in the beginning was the
word.
Yeah, yeah. And he is the word.
Yeah.
So here he's giving you all these things that say, hey, anytime, what you really see here is he's trusting in his Father's timing.
Amen.
And any provision,
mm-hmm,
in any area of your life, provision to how to be a husband, provision, yeah, how to be any provision. He is the bread of life. Like anytime, like you eat, like I like eating sometimes, you snack. I'm like, no. Brett, no. Look, he's like, I don't ever snack. He goes, look at this. Yo, oh my God. He's like, no, but I'll eat 20 tacos.
Yeah, that will do. I eat enough food to sustain me to the next meal.
So sometimes I like, I grew up with Goobers, and so we still have it in our house.
Goobers?
Goobers, peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, yeah. It's like peanut butter and jelly. It has this
really good taste. Like, I used to be able to eat that Joker, like, man, you know? And so I don't know, like, because I guess in prison, when I had a loaf of bread, you know, and I'd just be sitting there, and I didn't really have the goobers or nothing. I just squeezed the bread like this, and I would say it was a taco, and I eat it. But, like, at home, I'll go and I'll put something on the bread to kind of stop the hunger. And I feel like right here, any provision, you know, because we should be hungry and thirsty for Christ. Mm-hmm. Anything you need, the word has it, right? Amen. Which is kind of what you were saying. Then he's the second temptation. The devil takes Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple and urges to throw himself. He tells him, hey, throw yourself down. You know, Psalms 91, 11 through 12, to claim God's promised protection. He's like, throw yourself down so you can be protected. Yeah. It's almost like the enemy is always trying to test God's faithfulness.
Yeah. Like basically prove to me that you are.
Give me a sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's not good.
You think we do that?
All day long.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus actually refuses to manipulate God, right? He's like, God. He already knows God loves him. He already knows God's protects him. So I don't have to do something to show you that God loves me and protects me, which I think is super dope, right?
Amen.
Then he takes him to the third temptation, and he offers him the kingdoms, all the kingdoms of the world. Come on. He's tempting him for the power. Come on, this is where you get the power.
First
you get the money, then you get the power. And I think we all fell to that one. And I think people still, I think till this day, it doesn't end. I feel like all of these things, I think you graduate, like it's, I always look at it in this terms. Like you started with math, let's say 2 + 2, and then you went to multiplication, division, fraction. That's how I feel my Christian life is. Like I feel like my life of as a disciple is that I'm still doing math. It just looks different than what I was.
Yeah. And it's kind of like I feel like the math in this case is the flesh. Like the flesh is still dying.
Yeah, all
daily,
the time.
You know what I mean? And
I feel you're maturing.
Like, facts. I feel sometimes we like for example, in this particular temptation, like I don't know anybody, unless, I don't know, maybe you're out there, but that who cannot be tempted by power. As a man, you know what I mean? Like
the power.
Yeah, I think the idea is to say, you know what? I know that this is something that I can struggle with. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge it, and then how can I surrender it to Jesus?
So I started writing down what does it look like when you're not living out these verses, and I even added like a little prison thing because I was so if you're not living out this verse, you're gonna seek immediate gratification over God's will, right?
Yeah.
If you're not lived by this principle, you're going to chase comfort, pleasure, and material gain without discerning God's will. You're going to be impulsive. You're going to prioritize the momentary desires over your spiritual well-being because you won't be going after the bread of life.
Yeah.
You'll be going after the bread.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not going after the bread of life, you're going to go after I don't know even what to call it, but the opposite. So it's going to be the opposite, right? What does it look like after prison? You're going to jump straight into old habits. If you don't go after the bread of life, you're going to go after old habits.
Yeah.
Right? The fast money. You're going to choose to get anything imitation. I think a lot right now they're talking a lot about food on social media, like food, all this processed food, you know, because of the new political government, which you're not going to get, you know, we're going to turn this whole thing into political stuff. But there's this whole health thing, right? And they're showing all this stuff that's in these certain foods. And I feel like the enemy does that. He tries to give you, like, jacked up food to mess you up. Like, there's the bread of life. And then he's like, but you could eat this and be okay.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're going to lack patience lacking patience to build a new life slowly. Stable employment, restored relationships. If you are not going after the bread of life, you're going to lack patience to actually allow him to build the life that you have, right? Like I remember like that when I got that scripture, I waited it felt like 17,000 years.
Yeah.
Right? Does it feel like that to you sometimes when you're in the, when you're in
oh,
this
yeah.
world?
Like, when is this going to end? Or yes. When is it going to come to pass?
Come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Rap Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free Get Rap TV app or by visiting Get Rap Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at Get Rap People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at Get Rap Church.
I'm good.
Yes. Yeah. And so that's what I think you have to be careful, you know, in this first one, in the first part. You have to be careful because if not, we do what the children of Israel did when he was going to part the seas. Before it was parted, you know, like I often wonder if a lot of them went the
other way. Back?
Yeah, went back over the other. I'm going to go left.
Pick me up.
God's like, I need you to go this way because the seas are going to part. But you're either impatient, you're not trusting in that word. And so they started saying what?
They let were like, back. You should have let me back, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I mean, hey, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, at least we're eating.
At least we're eating. You know?
Yeah.
You got out of prison.
Yeah.
You know, so because you keep thinking like you're not going to wind up there again, right? That was like the ultimate lie.
Yeah.
Every time I came out, I thought like,
it's over.
It's over.
Yeah. I'm never going back.
I ain't never going back.
But I'm going to live the same.
But I'm going to do exactly the same thing.
I'm going to go back to the block. You know, I think something too that can also be an indicator of us not living according to the scriptures, that we're constantly trying to prove ourselves, you know? And I don't know. I feel like that's something that's a constant in prison, you know?
Yeah.
Even in street life, we come from a place where I have to prove myself to you, you know, that I am who I say I am, that I am this hard person or this drug dealer or this gangster or this killer. Like, we're consistently trying to prove ourselves to people that we are that, you know? But when you live from sonship, you don't have to prove yourself to anybody because God already says that you are. And when he says you are, you are. You know, the difficulty is us believing that we are that, you know, that we are forgiven, that we are set free, that we're justified, that we're accepted, that we're loved, that we're all these things. Like, that's the challenge that we face. So because we don't receive it, or we don't sometimes believe it, or it's hard for us to even accept the fact that he feels like that about us, we consistently live for approval, even sometimes from ourselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, totally. So in the second one, testing God instead of trusting God, right? And so it's funny because, you know, you were saying something that I'm going to say in the opposite for the second one, because the first one was Brent alone. The second one is like, hey, jump off the pinnacle with you. Like, you think you do that? So I put, failing to apply this in our own lives can look like demanding that God act on our terms.
Yeah.
That spirit is the one that tells you, like, God, you know, it's a posture of like, God must prove himself to me.
Yeah.
You with me? Because the other one, you're like, oh, we feel like we need to prove something.
Yeah,
but this one is more like, God, you need to do this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm on my timing, on the way I think.
Love me.
The way I think. And that's not accurate.
No.
Because if you remember like growing up and stuff, when your parents told you stuff, that was like throwing out the trash. It was, you know, there was things that were accurate. Even if we didn't have, like, just regular human things, right? That sometimes we got really frustrated and upset because we didn't know that they were taking care of us. And I feel like a lot of times this part right here, we're testing God rather than trusting God, right? That if he says, hey, I need you to, you know, I always tell dudes when they're like, man, I got set off. And I'm like, okay, for those that don't understand, set off, you know, you're not going to get out at this time. You're going to get out at this time.
Your time got set off.
Your time got set off. At that point, if you're trusting God, then you and it's going to sound wild, right? But you're okay with, you're content with, okay, this is what God has me doing.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you didn't do something dumb to get in trouble or it's just happening, then God sees, or you're not, you've been believing for something that he told you. Maybe he doesn't feel that should be in your hands yet.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you mess yourself up. Yeah. I feel like when our parents did that to us.
Facts. Yeah. I think it's kind of like the concept, like, I don't know, growing up, I don't know if you guys ever feel like this, but there's almost a season where you feel like, man, my parents hate me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or they don't want me to have fun, or they don't want me.
All
but
day long.
The reality is that they know what's good for you. They know what's, they know how the way you're living might turn out destructive, or might be, so they're trying to help you avoid that. And it's the same thing with God. Like, he knows everything. He's sovereign. He wrote your story, so he kind of knows, like, hey, don't do that. The way I've lined out your plan in your life is so that you can end up where I need you to end up at, you know. And even in a sense of like being entitled, feeling like you're saying, like, do this for me, like, God doesn't have to do anything else for us ever again. Like, the ultimate thing that he did was send his son for us to die on the cross so that we can be set, so we can be forgiven. The gospel, like, that's the most important and most powerful thing that he has ever done. If he does nothing other than that, he's done enough, because that paved the way for us to be his.
Well, and when you're testing God and not trusting him, what happens is you become arrogant and you become disappointed with God, right? because when he doesn't respond how we expect him to respond or when we expect him to respond, that means that you're testing God rather than trusting him. That's really what, if you really look at the nature of that, that means that you're actually, totally selfish. So what does that look like after prison, right? And remember, we said in the first one, it's not just saying after prison because they're coming out of something into walking into God's promises. So you might not, you might be coming out of your prison out here, right? Yeah. Out of your mental prison, and you're going to start this walk. And you have to be careful to not be those things, because that's the word's always teaching us the opposite.
Yeah.
Right? So if you're not living by trust, you may test God with an attitude. If he really cares, which is what you said before, he'll keep me from failing or fix things instantly, because we don't expect God through us. We expect God to just, like, lucky charms.
Yeah. I think that's very common. Like, I don't know. I talk to a lot of guys who come out, you know, and you know, we always tell guys, keep God first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
all day long,
and then I feel like that starts for a little bit, and then the desperation of I need a job, I need a house, I need takes place, and now God is no longer first.
Yeah,
you might say he is, maybe you think he is, but no, your well-being is first, you're getting financial stability is first, you're all that becomes takes place of God, and it might look like something that's small and insignificant, but now you start taking jobs that don't allow you to go to church on Sunday.
Mm.
Now you start doing things that intervene with your time with God or being in community and doing those things because you're not really trusting God. You know what I'm saying? You're God's not first. Your well-being or your financial, whatever it is, you're first. You know,
all day long.
And when
when you want to give up.
Facts.
But you want to give up because you feel like he's not doing things your way.
Exactly.
All day long.
He's not going to give me.
Because all of these, the promises, you got to think, it's going from Egypt, wilderness, promise. It's always in the other side of the word. Like it's, everything is on the other side of the word, which is on the other side of you. Like you die and this, you find yourself, you know, like it's always on the other side of that. When you're not implementing.
Rebirth.
Yeah. I was explaining to someone 2 days ago that we, you know, I went to this place and I asked everybody, hey, because it was test for the book, right? I go, how many of y'all ever had like somebody that just really bothered you and you got upset? And so 90-something% of the room, right? I go, how many of y'all have somebody though that you're like, yo, I ain't even talking to him no more? Like you're done, right? And 90-something% of the room. And there's 200-300 people there. Just an open Bible study that I was able to do, right? And then I go, hey, how many of y'all, though, prayed for them? And, like, 2 people, okay? So the truth is that you don't believe that verse. Until you could know, how many of y'all know that you pray for your enemies? Everybody raised their hand, right? Everybody raises their hand. Everybody heard the verse before, right?
Yeah.
But how many of you believe that verse?
Yeah.
Right. So if it's there,
everybody raise your hand.
If it's there,
no, you don't.
Yeah, no. Because if it's there, and that's what we do with the Word of God, though.
Yep. Facts.
Right. Because if it's there, I've actually helped people by telling them, hey, start doing that, and they always tell me this. I haven't had one person yet to tell me like it didn't make me feel better when I started. It always brings this peace.
Yeah.
Because you're not, the thing is, we think, so we first we got to even learn what prayer is, right? We're praying them towards Jesus.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
We're not like, oh, Lord, you know,
get them,
bless them with a car. Or like, you're not praying at them, or you're not praying like, you're praying a genuine prayer. Like, because if you didn't have Jesus, you might be doing some of the same things they might have did to you.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Probably worse. You probably did some of the same things they did to you.
Yeah. So you got to lean on that word. That's what seeking the kingdom means. It's not, we think seeking the kingdom is just like, you know, I'm going to go do all these church activities, even though they're all great. They're all great. But the seeking fruit. The kingdom is when something happens, I'm going to seek what he has to say about this matter.
Culture.
In response, a test, character. Trial, or trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fire. Like seeking the kingdom is that. That's good. We're seeking the atmosphere, the mindset, the perspective, the culture, the character, the heart of Jesus. We're not seeking the things. Or the work. We're seeking what it means to be this.
Yes. Yeah. And when you do that, everything else gets added
follows,
to you.
Yeah. Yes. Because it cannot not. Now you've accepted. Your true identity and where you're truly from and the true culture. So that thing just manifests.
Yes.
Fuego.
Fuego. Okay, so then compromising worship for power of influence. Jesus would not bow to Satan for the sake of ruling the world, so he didn't bow to Satan, right? So compromise, right? Idols, wealth, control, manipulating, lying, personal gain. That's how that looks like, you know, if you're not following that verse. Or what it looks like after prison is striving for status or control at any cost.
I think that that's something that's very common.
Well, yeah,
it's always... like if you're not bowing, and I mean, sometimes we're like, well, I'm not bowing down to the devil because I'm not doing these hard things
all day long.
But if you're not living, you know, but if you're bowing down to money, if you're bowing down to your organization, if you're bowing down to a certain lifestyle, if you're bowing down to a relationship, you might be bowing down to something else. You might be bowing down to yourself, right? Yeah. Your feelings, your self-gratification, like you were saying earlier, things that you... That you value as opposed to what God values.
All day long. Because, well, that's the understanding worship.
Mm-hmm.
Like I always, and I say this, you know, the law first mentioned where you see Abraham pretty much taking his son to the altar, right?
Yeah.
And he says, and he worshiped. He didn't have like the piano there or nothing. Like it's a postured heart. So you could go to church or to a Sunday service, Tuesday service, Monday service, whatever service you go to, and you can go there and sing the songs.
Yeah.
And the question is, did you worship? When you worship, you have a posture to obey.
Yeah, amen.
Right?
Yeah.
So when what you're saying here is that if I start hanging out with people I shouldn't be hanging out with, I am now worshiping the enemy. I'm posturing my heart to the lie. Rather than posturing my heart to obey what God has to say.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to have worship to have faith.
Amen.
That's why it's spirit and truth. Like you can't even have faith without worship. And I'm not talking just singing. I'm saying the posture of your heart. If the posture of your heart is, Lord, you're there and, speak to me. I'm going to do, you know, I love you, right? And you're that, then you worshiped.
Yeah.
If not, you just sang at a concert.
I feel like Romans 12:1 is a really good.
That's a good one.
Expression.
Read it out.
Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies?
Yeah.
To surrender yourselves to God, to be His sacred, living sacrifices, and live in holiness, experiencing all the delights His heart. All that delights His heart. It says, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship, laying your life down. Not making it about you, not making it about your comfort, your success, I hope people don't misunderstand that. Those are not bad things.
They're not.
They can't come before God. The thing is that, like what you were saying, if you seek the kingdom first, those things do come by way of God.
Yeah.
They come by way of worship.
All day long. And so the fourth one, relying on personal strength rather than God's word, right? Because he knew what was written. He also obeyed to what was written, right? He always did that. So holding these verses, we rely. If we don't hold on to the verses of Scripture, this is why Spirit and Truth. You need the Spirit to lead you into the truth.
Yeah.
You need to read the Word to actually fill yourself with what God has to say.
Yeah. Amen.
So if you're just going through a reel, then because I just know a lot of people out there, and I say this respectfully, also trying to edify and say, hey, you know, read your word.
Yeah.
Like we get so busy, and it's not just reading your word to get head facts. It's reading, then meditating on what you read so that you can become one with that word.
Yeah.
And when you're walking out there and you see something, you are led by the Spirit of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's pretty the main thing. So if you're just rushing through that part,
yeah,
then life's gonna be really hard, right? So what it looks like after prison is you have no grounding in God's word. You may navigate reentry into the world, or you might now you're walking out there, because I'm also thinking of the person that's not in the physical prison, right?
Yeah,
you start relying on your own strength, you start being guided by your street smarts, and then you get desperate for whatever it is you're chasing rather than His divine wisdom.
Amen.
Right?
I think that's why it's important to develop a good reading habit, you know.
Facts.
Because like if you're not reading consistently daily, mm-hmm. you know, then you're really not spending time with God. You don't know who He is, and you can be easily swayed. You know, I feel sometimes like people get upset because, oh, He deceived us. You know what I mean? We've been deceived. But the reality is that you have as much responsibility in being deceived as the person deceiving you.
Yeah.
Because you're not reading, like, just think about it. If you're reading, if God's spirit's living inside of you, if you know what's going on, when you see something that's deceptive, you're going to be like, man, this is, whoa.
This is off. Well, yeah. It's in your Romans 12.
Yeah,
go back to your Romans 12 where it's somewhere in the bottom where it says, and then you will know what the will of God is.
Yeah.
So I'm going to know God's desire by spending time. And that's a big issue today because... let me tell you the issue, if we're going to give you like some good verbiage here. A biblical world view. We don't look at the world through the lens of the Bible. Because if you don't read it,
how are you going to know?
can't blame somebody. So we are very gift-oriented. So we'll go somewhere with a person that don't have no word, but says all the things and gets really excited.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, Jesus, because you got... 20 people that are not reading, and people are very, I'm telling you, like, oh, the gift.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
They're Samuel. He's the Samuel. People look at the external.
The outward, and he looks at the heart.
Yeah.
You did that. Yeah, no. Totally, totally. So, you know, intentional prayer, fellowship, Bible study, you know, we have hangouts. Like, all of that stuff is like dialoguing on the word. Like, meditate means to chew.
Yeah.
It's to actually process, digest, so that you can understand. Yeah. So it's not just giving you, like I said, head facts, right? Which goes to what you're saying, and we'll just put a bow on this thing, all right? Misunderstanding or twisting scripture. So notice that the devil quotes scripture out of context. Mm. Out of context.
I wonder how many of us would fall to those temptations that are to take place.
Well, I mean, now. It happens a lot.
Yeah. But like right, yeah, you know, like right now, in maybe it's something for
it happens now
to think about. Like
it happens
the
now.
Day like, if that happened and it wasn't like obvious that it was a devil, it was just like something that's
it happens now.
Yeah. And
everything we just said.
Yeah,
right. Because when you're spending time, if somebody invites you to something,
yeah,
because it happens all day long. You're dating, you bring somebody, which we talked about a Sunday at the thing with Miss April here. Right. When we're sitting at a table. So I want you to catch this. OK, so she has a relationship with the Lord. This wasn't like to give you a little context of this story. If you haven't watched it, go watch I think it's the third service, the panel.
Yeah.
Right.
Correct.
And she's like, yeah. So she invites us as parents. We sit with this guy. OK, we're just dialoguing.
Yeah.
She has a relationship with God. I need you to catch this. OK,
yeah.
I don't ever tell her you better not like. I don't. I pretty much put it on her, but she got to hear things like, hey, why don't you pray for us? Hey, what is this? Hey, are you committed to that? Just little questions that is giving her the, is this Jesus?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is this not?
Yeah.
Because at some point, let's say she decided, whatever, and she gets into something already knowing some of these things. I mean, truth be told that it's going to just be harder.
Fact.
And so you got to make that decision as a person. Do I want it to be destructive? Do I want it to be that hard? Because she's worked really hard at becoming the person she is. Now, that doesn't mean that she has to have a standard way up there. But, I mean, you got to at least have some Jesus.
With a heart.
I mean, something.
Yeah.
You got to have something because how are you going to... So, and people do get into those things because they go opposite to what...
Yeah, they're led by the flesh.
Yes.
By the spirit. Yeah.
So, like, a lot of times we have people that just say things... The non-meditative, that's why the proof of somebody is in the fruit.
The pudding.
It's in the pudding. It's in the chocolate. It's in the fruit. It's always in the fruit.
Yeah.
It's always in the fruit. And you can identify fruit by hanging out with a person and talking with a person. Yeah. Like, right? It's not going to be, because most will take scripture out of context or we won't, that's why you don't see the fruit. So, so what it looks like after using Bible talk or selected verses to justify wrong behavior. And so people they do that now. Like they'll use the Holy Spirit convicts, but they'll use the scripture to kind of like try to say something that the Bible's not even saying.
Yeah.
So you're like, what if it happens now? It is happening now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because people don't spend that time, they don't know how to differentiate what's Jesus and what's not.
Yeah.
And you got to think, if Jesus is the word, and you say you don't read your word,
Like, you don't know Jesus.
So you really don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
And again, there's the Pharisee who reads his word a lot, but actually doesn't want to live it out.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm always, like this last year, I've been like, meditate on the word, meditate on the word. Because you want to think about the word. Yeah. I call it engaging the text.
Personal. Yeah.
You want to wrestle with the text. What is this saying to me?
Yeah.
What is this saying to me? How does this look through me?
Yeah.
Am I...
How's it working in me?
Yeah. Am I the man that's not living
on
bread alone?
That's key. Like when we read, and when that's the whole point of even being, from my understanding, a Christian, is so that the work of God can work in you. Mm-hmm. You know, it has to work. It sanctifies you. It purifies you. You told me, right? The word washes you.
Yeah.
And it washes through you. And that's kind of like the gist of God's, our relationship with Jesus. Like, it does something in you, so then it can do through you. Because if it's not doing it in you, what you begin to do is only temporarily. It has no weight on it, because it's from you. It's not from him. It's not eternal.
All day long. And what you see here, you see not Jesus, because, you know, we do the whole, you know, all you got to do is say it is written. Yes and no, because I can't say man does not live by bread alone and then actually go eat bread.
Yeah.
Like, anything he said, he actually did. Like, he says, you know, he didn't jump off the...
Yeah.
He didn't give the scripture and then jump. And so we have to be... You get what I'm saying? Like, like when you're gentle and you're telling someone, be gentle, and you're actually exhibiting that, it says, like, from rivers of living water. And I don't know if you've ever seen a river on a rock. Like, they're really clean because the river keeps hitting it.
Yeah.
Right? So when that word is coming through you... Right?
It cleanses you.
Yeah, you're thinking you're showing them gentleness, but actually you're becoming gentle by, you know, Jesus is the ultimate, like, he's
the living word.
He's like fire. Because he knew that you living out, when I'm loving people, when I am forgiving, when I'm, it's changing me.
Yeah, amen.
You think it's for them, but it's actually for you.
Yeah.
And it benefits them. You get what I'm saying? That it just does, man.
Yeah.
That's, to me, is the ultimate. I'm like, checkmate.
Yeah, facts.
Like, he knew. Like, so if you're not actually living this out,
yeah,
you're not actually changing. Do you know that?
If it's not written in you.
Because you have no love.
Amen.
And so you have no knowledge of love. When you start becoming one with the word, it's just normal.
Yeah.
Like we're trying to be Jesus without Jesus. Which doesn't work.
Amen.
And so I just want to challenge you today. I don't know where you're at. Read the story. Meditate on the word. Really think about that, you know, because in that story in Deuteronomy, when I read the thing, you know, he starts living by the word.
Right? Yeah.
Let's say they start living by the word. He said, man, this is a living word. So you start living that. He actually goes in there and tells them, and don't forget about me. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you start living and stuff starts happening in your life.
And
so the key, because me and my wife are always talking about this. I still go to hangout. I still, like, I'll fly. I'll do whatever I have to do to be in that hangout, right? It's above everything for me. I haven't opted out of what I tell everybody they need to do. So, like, I try my best.
Yeah.
Now, I've had seasons like everybody else. But when you're aware, you could tell. I could tell when, like... Like, I've all these hangouts, I've been in every single one of them. And I could tell the difference on how, like how I feel in community.
Yeah.
Totally when I'm not.
Yeah.
You start like, you know, little things just start happening. You start getting cranky, angry, right? But you could tell we were all like smiling, laughing, crying, talking about the word. You know, this, I mean, it's just been phenomenal, like phenomenal, this hangout quarter for us, right?
Yeah.
And to where somebody was like, hey, let's keep hanging out, because like the power of the word has just been phenomenal.
Amen.
So you're not going to have that abundant life without doing the things that Jesus is telling you to do. So if he's like, yo, pray, then pray. Read the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes tells you what it's like to be in the kingdom and live in the kingdom.
The attitudes to be.
Have the attitude to be. You're absolutely right. So thank you, man. Thank you for coming through.
And thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, I like it when you come through. You know what I'm saying? Because April started getting nervous. I was like, yo, it's going to be you. She's like, you know.
Yeah, she just.
while it's like,
yeah, that's basically.
So thank you so much for tuning into This Is Real, show with real people, real problems, real solutions. And man, we want to thank always our partners, ISI, and all those who partner with us to make this happen. Thank you so much. See you next week. Peace.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you, This Is Real family, for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at PO Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
And don't forget, stay real.